All right, tonight I want to start a few lessons, first one tonight, and on Thursdays and Fridays, this week, next week, and further, if it takes that, I think we'll be able to wind it up next week. Concentrating on 2 Timothy, apparently the most likely to be last book or letter that Paul wrote in this life, and concentrating on his repeated instructions and hints and reports of what he has done toward the propagation of the gospel of the grace of God, how to carry it on, how to go on with it, knowing that his time has come and he's writing to Timothy. I don't think Timothy is the only one that he was training. I mean, he worked side by side with others that are mentioned in the scriptures. But we have this, just like in studying Thessalonians, we put a microscope on Thessalonians because the Bible does. I mean, it separates the instances that happened there and tells us what each was called, what each signified, and so we can understand the process. And this helps us understand the process and what we are to be doing today to propagate the gospel. Let's start with 2 Timothy 1, verse 1, one of my favorite verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Life is in Christ Jesus. And here he's called an apostle. Other places, especially Romans 11:13, he's called the apostle. The apostle of the Gentiles. So are there more than one? Well, not so named. It's a singular word, the. And he's the one. There were others that were sent along in that same ministry. But an apostle is a sent out one. Paul was sent out to build the body of Christ, to preach the word of God. And a lot of it was the new word of God, the newly revealed and inspired word of God that Paul was writing. And you can say that phrase the other way around too. Paul was also sent to teach the body of Christ something, to teach the body of Christ to be preaching the word. Let's go to the second verse. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. So Paul starts off by encouraging Timothy, and that's a good thing to remember, to be an encourager. Encouragement is spoken of highly in the Bible. It's something that we have the ability to do with the Spirit of God within us. 2 Timothy 1, 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. So faith in God has been passed on to Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and then passed on to Eunice, and then passed on to Timothy. The way we raise our kids, they're not just coming up in our midst, and whatever happens, happens. We're to train them. train up a child in the way he should go. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul is in that line of passing on to Timothy the faith in God. Watch the pronouns here in this next verse, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but, and you can carry over that same phrase, but God hath given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. And I think it's in Colossians he says that he rejoices in his afflictions. Well, here he's having Timothy share in it. And I shouldn't say it that way. It goes along with the territory. And he's encouraging Timothy that he's not alone in it, in the afflictions of the gospel. There will be afflictions of the gospel. You preach the gospel and people aren't going to like it. They're going to say, well, what do you mean? My parents are in hell now? So, verse, what did we get through here? Verse 8. The testimony of our Lord, it says, it's the passing on of the faith that Paul is sent out to do. It's the propagating, the testimony of our Lord, what God, what the Lord said. That's the inspired word of God that Paul wrote down, and we have in his 13 epistles, Romans to Philemon. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us. Amen. You know, he's not telling the gospel here, but he's saying the result of it. They believe the gospel. He hath saved us and called us, there's more pronouns, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. But, and he's talking about that holy calling, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So twice in 2 Timothy, Paul uses the appearing, or his appearing, as referring to Christ's appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus. And loving that appearing that brought us the gospel of salvation through Paul. I mean, Christ revealed it to Paul, and Paul revealed it to us in his epistles. The other use is in 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord to Paul, sinner Paul, on the road to Damascus? We were in that same position. Unforgivable, unsavable, unconnected to the way God was working in the world at that time. It's changed since, but he was working through Israel. We weren't. We don't have any way to bless Israel before their fall. They fell in Acts 7. You can read it. It's all documented, according to Matthew 12:32. You can't love something. It says, "All them that love his appearing." You can't love something that hasn't happened yet. You don't know about it. You hope for it, maybe, you know. But if you love his appearing, it's an appearing that's already occurred. It occurred in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. So that's the appearing that he's talking about. 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. who hath abolished death. It's still appointed unto man once to die. Also, the second death is yet in the future. So, what death was abolished? We must look for the qualifier that Paul uses about abolishing death. The qualifier is the last three words in 2 Timothy 1:10 that we just read. Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light, here it is, through the gospel. Through the gospel. Believers in Paul's gospel will be raised to life. Disbelievers in Paul's gospel will be raised up to the second death. Through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, he hath abolished death. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And I believe that word Gentiles applies to what he's saying there. That's the impact of what he's trying to get across, is that to the Gentiles he's a preacher. He's sent out to preach to the Gentiles as an apostle and a teacher. Paul is referring to his missionary type sending out to preach and teach the Gentiles, being an apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle of the Gentiles. I lost my trail of thought there. I was going to mention something, but it may come back to me. This is not Paul's unique apostleship to reveal the mystery. Write inspired scripture and care for all the churches. He did have others with him, but he is the one that is called the apostle of the Gentiles, as we said before. Regarding that unique apostleship of Paul, he says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. This is in Romans 11:13. I magnify mine office, not myself, but the office that he is filling. The Lord placed him in, actually. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Look at Philippians 1:29, some of the afflictions that he rejoices in. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians again. Later in the verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And here it is, for I know whom I have believed. John 17:3 echoes this. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know thee, to know the Jesus Christ, the only true God. To know thee, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. And back to the verse we were in, 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed. We know him, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's another proof of secure salvation, of true salvation, being really saved, not just temporarily saved to be dumped later if we don't do good or something. We're not on probation. Going on to Romans 4:24-25, seeing these conditions and the things that Paul relates as an apostle, Romans 4:24-25, but for us also. Now, this is a follow-up. It's at the end of the fourth chapter of Romans, at the beginning of the chapter, the third verse. Abraham believed God, and that belief was counted unto him as righteousness. Hold on, I'm going to have to take this call. Excuse me just a minute.
Hello? Hi. 7:30, yeah. Okay? All right, good. Thanks. Bye.
Sorry about that delay. But we were looking at Romans chapter 4 and the Lord had told Abraham something, a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed that. And you know what, I'm going to go back a little bit here in the context and read, because it's so vital. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. And then if you come down to verse 19, what really makes it not just academic information, he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, reproductively dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being, here's the definition of faith as I see it, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. There's the faith that Abraham had. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not, listen to this, these last three verses in the chapter, but now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. That's why he died on the cross. The blood of the cross made reconciliation, and by trusting that he was delivered for, in place of, in other words, in place of us, delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification, believing that, we're saved. So those are important verses and vital to learn and know and even memorize, so that you're not resting on what I tell you or what some other preacher tells you, but you're resting on what God tells you. That's God's word, and it's errorless in the King James Version. The King James, the Textus Receptus, if any of you were raised Greek and understand Greek, that's the one. But raised in English, in America, or English-speaking first language, the King James has the Word of God in it without self-contradictions at all anywhere in it. 2 Timothy 1:13, we're going to go on here. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Thou, Timothy, have heard of me, Paul. How do we hear the things that Paul says? We read and study the epistles of Paul. And we don't put the words of Jesus to Israel ahead of the words of Jesus through Paul to us. Christ is talking to you in Paul's epistles. Don't belittle it and say, well, I'd rather follow what Jesus said to Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It doesn't work that way. You can want that, you can try that, but that's not the way God set it up. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's 2 Timothy, he's saying that in. 2 Timothy 2:8. He also says that twice before the end of Acts there in Romans. Romans 16:25 and Romans 2:16, I believe it is, or 17. 2 Timothy, last verse here in this series, 2 Timothy 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. Not the traditions that were errantly set up by man, apart from the Bible, but the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. We need to know the epistles of Paul, having studied them enough to know them. Hold those traditions you've been taught by our apostle. In other words, not man's traditions, but the traditions that God revealed to Paul for us. Study. Preach. Keep the unity. Forgive others. Gracious speech. That verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, tells us to stick together with the Word of God and with fellow believers. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So, we're to stay in the Word of God, fellowship together, withdraw from the disorderly, and notice how Paul emphasizes the importance of sticking with his doctrine, his traditions, his preaching, his gospel being 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. The fact of what God did to make the gospel, let me turn it around. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul reveals to us what our part is, what we do, by telling us what they did in Corinth to be saved. And then in verses 3 and 4, he tells us what it is we're to have the faith in. That being that Christ died for your sins, my sins, our sins, particularly your own sins, that he took your place, dying your death for you. The death talking about there, Genesis 2:17. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And that's important. It's not just any gospel. The gospel that Paul preached unto those in Corinth to have them saved. He says, you received it, which also you received. And wherein you stand, by which also, by this gospel that he preached unto them, you are saved. So it's a gospel of salvation. And it's declared to be so by the Bible, by these inspired words of Paul. By which you're saved, if you keep in memory, again, he's states the importance of it being what he preached, the gospel that he preached, not what Peter preached, what they had heard before, or what Moses preached, Noah preached, none of those. What Paul preached, unless you believed in vain. It's in vain to believe these other things other than what Paul preaches. Keep your mind on Paul's epistles. Study the whole Bible, but realize that they're pointing to the future. The law given was to show that we can't keep the law. We can't be as good as God. We need to be, but we can't be. Then grace comes, and we receive his grace, and we are given the righteousness of God, are made the righteousness of God, it says 2 Corinthians 5:21. So, 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul can say, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, that's the things thou hast heard of me is that what I preached unto you again. He says, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there's four generations there, Paul, then Timothy, then faithful men, and then those that are taught, able to teach others, those others that are taught, who study and keep the traditions and fellowship and become faithful men teaching others. 2 Timothy 1:14, the good thing, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. Which dwelleth in us. What good thing is he talking about there? Well, I got three verses listed here that kind of define it. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and sent Timotheus our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, that's the gospel of salvation, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. 2 Timothy 1:15-16. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. There's that encouragement again. And was not ashamed of my chain. Well, being refreshed and giving refreshment to others is part of propagating Paul's gospel and the body of Christ churches. Going on the next two verses, 2 Timothy 1:17-18. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy Verse 18. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. So, not only refreshing each other, but also ministering to each other, serving, helping, serving up the gospel, serving up the truth that we need to come to the knowledge of. It helps to propagate, pass on Paul's doctrine, gospel, churches, and tradition. 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not only does grace teach us in Titus 2:11-13, teach us, I should look those up, and let me just, give me a second here to look those up. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, that grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, it not only teaches us, but here we see that the grace of God strengthens us. Now, 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong, strengthened in other words, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Well, there it is again, the things that Paul preached. What is heard of him? My gospel. The traditions by word or by our epistle, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, Paul's preaching to them, that which I preached unto you, to sum it up. Are we starting to see a pattern here? The things thou hast heard of me among many, many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Well, what about those faithful men? Timothy is a good example of faithful men. Let's just close with a few insights about Timothy. Philippians 2:19-22. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And that explains why he sent him to Thessalonica after he got chased out of town convincing them that they are trying to, giving them the gospel of God, that they needed to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, not a fraud. And they chased him out of town. And he sent back Timothy, trusted Timothy, as a minister of the gospel of Christ, to go back and tell them how to be saved. And then he wrote back in 1 Thessalonians, or came back. Paul writes that he heard back from Timothy that about their faith and their love for all the same, for all the, I forget the wording. Before I close, let me just get that one up here. I like to get things accurate. Verse 6 and 7. He didn't know until he heard this. You can tell how relieved he was. It says, but when, this is 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, and 7. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us also, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, because he heard of their faith, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. That they finally believed the gospel and were saved. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. And, you know, before that, Paul says three times that he only gave them the gospel of God, the facts about who Jesus is when he was there, and then they chased him out of town. That's the difference between an apostate Jew and a little flock Jew. They believed that the gospel of God, the little flock. So he says, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. You know, there's no question. Just look in Romans, the first four verses of Romans. It defines the gospel of God as being who Jesus is. Nothing about salvation there. Go down to verse 8 and 9. Again, he mentions that he only got to preach the gospel of God. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And going on to verse 9. First Thessalonians 2:9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And you don't get to the gospel of Christ until he sent faithful Timothy back. He trusted him. And he's committing these principles to Timothy to pass on to us to keep the gospel being propagated and being passed on, and the growth in the body of Christ. Okay, I'm done with this. We'll continue, at least the plan is to continue tomorrow night, and then probably next Thursday and Friday also.